I mean, by there, but if I were shares it to you, I will get it from you too. And maybe the original guy also.
I don't wanna see you look at that.
You already had it.
Okay. How about you, Brian?
Downloaded everything at home or upgraded everything to the new Ubuntu.
Okay.
I did one fresh install and one upgrade, both worked pretty flawlessly. My XPS laptop does have a few little keyboard issues and stuff because of the hotkeys and running VMs and stuff like that, but other than that, that worked just fine. Also put on a new VMware 6.5 workstation.
Yeah.
And it's got that Unity view, which is really cool. I like that, and actually work in Contest, so it mix your Windows, the Windows program over like an OpenOffice, and it looks like it's part of your.
How about the unit, the installer? It's graphical.
It's graphical now, yes.
Yeah, you just cannot execute it. You just have to go to command line to execute it.
That's right.
And if you have to do something not common.
But mine worked actually pretty good because when I did install it, I just ran the icon and it actually pulled up. Yeah, it pulled up the GUI and said, oh, I got compilers. Yeah. So it did the compiling and the GUI. And the other thing that they added was the network portion is now GUI.
Yes.
Which is handy. Otherwise, it's been working pretty good.
What did they call that mode again?
Unity.
Does it? You said it works in Compass?
Yep, works in Compass.
I don't know, because VirtualBox does a similar thing, but in Compass, the desktop backgrounds flake out depending on which one you have to
do. No, this one works. You can even put Windows on different sides of the cube.
Perfect. Huh?
And rotate. And then wow. The start menu appears. You can put it in any corner or any place. Normally it starts where your Ubuntu icon is, so if you just move your cursor up there, it'll drop down so you can see your start menu for the Windows. And then you can select everything off that and stuff. And it worked, I thought it worked really well. I did have to do a reboot. They don't tell you to do a reboot, but if I did do a reboot, it sort of was flaky like that, but after the reboot, everything came up working just fine.
No, that's it.
That's it?
Download all at all?
No,
download them all. I'm glad.
Not even the open gyms either.
I'm glad your priorities are straight.
Wait, you're Eric to crap on. I'll join his team and I'll take his spot.
Monday at.
As long as the temperature's above 50, I'll let it handle it.
It's indoors.
It was like five. And they heat it. So it's a heated indoor sand
court. Sunshine.
Yeah.
So how is Eric doing?
You must be command for your friends. Doing pretty good. Last Friday I decided I was going to put a shelf up in the garage, and on Sunday I finished up insulating the wall that I'm going to put the shelf on. So this weekend I'll put up the sheetrock, and hopefully I'll get started on that shelf.
So you took it just right around the...
I'm going to do that, insulate the wall, because I might want to do that in the future, and I'm excited. No, I really don't want to have just paperback insulation there, so I better put something back in the wall. So I get some sheetrock and
Now that the sheetrock's up, it looks really nice. I'm going to redo the floor.
I'll just put a roof in there.
Yeah, that's right.
I do have to mud check one corner of the garage. Otherwise, not too much. But I can play my time. It's cool stuff. Not used to it.
Well, you know, you have a house, there's always something to do. Cool. How's your family?
Good.
How is the short way from work here?
It's good. It actually takes me about the same time to get to Buford as it takes me to get to Nominee.
Because there's a freeway.
There's a freeway. And I don't know if you've been to Buford, but if you realize where the employees actually have to park, It shuttled us for us.
Yeah. Was that over at like a radio station? Or
yeah.
Are they going to move you to the new ramp or anything, or is that still patients?
The first three levels are only for the patients. The fourth level is for employees, but it's going by seniority.
Oh, doctors first.
So, oh no, the doctors have their own little part.
Yeah, they are. Okay.
So, if the doctor's been there long enough, they might actually get up in the ramp. Like, a couple of people in the lab that have been there in like 30 years actually have parking passes for the ramp.
So if you were just hired there, you need to suspend your car in the theater.
Actually, the show works pretty nice. Especially when you get to work at 6 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh,
extra nap.
Should have a punch machine inside.
There used to be some kind of soap place. It's by a, what is Gearhart? Is it Gearhart?
Yeah, we're all right across from Gearhart.
Yes.
Other than that, we set a date.
You set a date for what?
What?
Wedding.
Oh, the wedding!
Cool.
What is that?
What's the date?
8709.
You've been trained.
What kind of flowers does she want to have in the morning?
She doesn't know.
Well, she doesn't know.
I think she wants the
You never got it?
No.
Did you not get a beer yet?
No, I didn't.
Why?
No Wi-Fi over here, I think.
Well, that's actually a little bit of a weird.
Well, that's maybe too late.
Too late? It's open till 2.
Well, that's something you consider.
Oh, man. The pale ale was okay, but it wasn't very carbonated.
Yeah, it was not. I did actually stack all the sugar, but it was supposed to be there. And maybe that was part of the taste too. They didn't actually carbonate it well enough. So, but then it was in the bottle. Like, you know, I could have carbonated it well enough for a little bit. It would have turned out getting effect, but
That, I've been doing that for a while, connecting temporarily with no internet. Yeah.
How about you?
I didn't do that.
What am I doing right now?
I'm seeing if I can reduce the speed of my wireless card. If it keeps trying to connect at max speed, I figure if I crank it all the way down, I might be able to get a good connection.
Picture.
This isn't the final version, but it looks pretty good.
Better read it, but. Well, that's cool. It's got like Linux and bars in the background.
Yeah, that'll show up a lot better with a higher quality. That's just printed off at low resolutions. So.
Well, it doesn't look very good.
It's for artists. It looks like crap, okay? I'm just saying, from a distance it looks fine, but when you actually look at it, you can barely even read the lettering because it's low resolution.
It's hard on yourself.
Yeah, I see.
What are we going to do if we aren't going to have internet connectivity?
We need to figure out.
We'll figure something out. We're ingenious.
They have the cables pulled out here, you know. So,
well, we can just run it across the road, I'm sure, like one of those houses that internet. Just run it, put like a carpet over the road. So,
do we need to talk to an owner or, you know?
The owner of the road? Well, I guess it is a public. It is a public road, so we technically all are owners of the road.
That would be a city. Yes. But road doesn't have internet connection, so that's a.
No, but the neighbors can get across the road.
Can I
help
the
And how about you, sir? Disrupted.
I think I already spent my 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't really do too much exciting, so.
Hey, why you? We have these things called kids, and boy, they take a lot of time to make
it stop. We have a lot of maintenance. Was that done clocking on the floor, too?
Yeah, so. Nothing too exciting, I'll be honest with you.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, what do you two were jabbing about for about 10 minutes?
Well, just how BitTorrents work. How they originally get started was kind of my question. I can understand unless they're going
to. They have to be seeded.
Someone
creates a torrent file on the server.
Yeah.
And then
the Pirate's Bay is nothing more than an informational site.
Yeah. It's a torrent tracker, is what it's called. And it tracks, it keeps up to date information on all of the torrents that it's keeping track of.
It's a directory.
Yep,
it's
a folder.
It's a Google,
very much.
Well, okay. Follow the exact
same. They did just, some researchers just made a BitTorrent that's truly non-central. It'll just exist.
That's right.
There won't be a central.
How do you get started on?
You connect to one box, and then that has stuff for other boxes, and then that has stuff for other boxes, and it just.
Really?
All you have to know is where one of the boxes is.
And they'll branch to other ones, to other ones, to other ones. If you have enough points, then.
Has anyone heard about the new file sharing service that's supposed to be similar to like Rapid Share or Mega Upload?
Dropbox.
Like, similar to like a low cost, like a Dropbox, but what it does is creates a torrent file for you. And allows you to transfer to distribute torrents to your friends, and I think it's free.
Never heard of that. There was some that you actually uploaded a file to the server, and then it sent FTP, it sent email to somebody, a link to that FTP thing, or whatever it was that. Maybe it was an FTP, maybe it was a torrent. Well, if you have a torrent,
then it's not. This was supposed to be a combination of what you were talking about and like BitTorrent. Like basically a central location for you to distribute your BitTorrents.
I have a question. Did somebody try OpenSUSE recently? No? Did you try that?
I did.
I just thought that the guy from OpenSUSE community asked me, what do I like on Ubuntu? And what I, you know, the, what to compare those two things. So I wondered something from you guys, but if you. I didn't really try it, so it just works. Well, I have an issue with it that I cannot maintain it, you know. It has the YAS font stuff. But just
but YAS is not that much different than the Ubuntu.
It is possible to see
all of Ubuntu stuff is native GNOME configuration. It's not Ubuntu's invention.
Right, it's static, basically.
Whereas YAST is an overlap and redo of stuff that's already there, and don't use the stuff that's there because YAST will overwrite it anyway.
It'll go actually overwrite it.
Turns into a mess.
Yeah, I can see that.
I keep trying to like Suzy, and every time it comes to that same problem where I want to go to the GNOME tool to configure my networking card or something.
But they changed it.
It either doesn't work, or the next time YAS does something, it removes what I've done, or, you know. I think if you're not familiar with the distribution at all, maybe it's fine.
Yeah.
And then you'll get used to YAS and just use it.
The guy who asked me actually tried the Ubuntu. He said, well, after a few hours, I got bored of it and I went back. Yeah. And I could tell him the same thing. Yeah. You know, I'm used to Ubuntu and I'm happy that this version works for me. Whatever I want to do, I don't have a problem so far. Just because they fade out right now and in previous release, my touchpad and he wanted to see my XOR files last night, my XOR file.
That's what I always have a problem with, that NVIDIA cards, and sometimes they conflict and it's a pain to get the right resolution on it and stuff.
So, the live CD appeared to be, you know, we booted it up and it appeared to be working fine.
Yeah. That's what I always ended up doing is I would copy that XOR, save it away, so then when I put NVIDIA or bring it up on there and it's really crapped out, I'll replace the XOR with that one and I get at least the default resolution back and stuff.
The live CD?
Yes, the live CD works, but after you install it, it doesn't.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that nobody's gonna put up with.
No problem. Once they run into that one little problem, they figure like, okay, the rest of the install is gonna go just as bad, so why continue on? Like on the one laptop that I upgraded, or even my desktop, I had to go into the safe video mode to install a new version of Ubuntu. It came up with the right resolution, but it didn't do it by default.
Makes me think, I played with Dream Linux for about 5 minutes before I did. It took me 5 minutes to get bored of it.
Is that the one with little icons, like the Mac icons below?
Yeah, the thing is, you know, they touted, they made it, you know, simple, and they, I mean, basically everything that Ubuntu's trying to do, they claim they've done, and it's just not.
They said they put all the multimedia codecs on there and stuff like that.
Well, it's fine that they're there, but when I can't figure out how to do a simple configuration change, you know, I'm like, you know, it's. I want to change my window dressing or something, and I found a neat little tool to do it, and I'm clicking the button and hitting execute or apply, and then I notice a little fine print up above that says, oh, I need to do Control-Alt-Backspace. What?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know about that, but nobody's going to think about Linux for the first time and say, oh, sure. They're going to be like, what the heck is that?
And you got lucky that it was in English because it's Brazilian.
Yeah. I mean, it looked okay, but it's anything to do.
Well, I tried Dream Linux a few times and I could not install it. You know, Live CD was okay, but could not install it.
That was really funny. You know, the Live CDs worked well.
Yeah.
But if you install them, then you get some problems.
Was it their installer? Because I did read something about with Dream Linux, they have this. They claimed the only installer is worse than the Dream Linux installer was the straight Gen 2 installer. So.
Does Gen 2 come with an installer?
The live Gen 2 CD does, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, I played with it once, and you know, it didn't take, honestly, that much longer than a regular OS to install, so. I just couldn't figure out how to get anything working after I had it installed because I didn't have any hardware set up, basically. My monitor came up in some weird resolution, and I kind of got it to work good, but the wireless I gave up on after about 3 hours and never
it's
tried
it. It's just not worth it. The amount of time you have to spend doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Let somebody else do it, you know.
And that's why I kind of got you to is that whatever is the default, most likely I'll use it. And some people will say, well, you can do X, Y, Z. I'm saying, I don't want to do X, Y, Z. I want it as it would be a default, you know?
Some people just want it to work.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. That's and it should. I mean, once you really know how computers work and stuff, you think, like, why can't they just get the darn stuff to work?
Especially with Linux, you've got the same software, basically, anywhere to go.
I always say it's the 90% rule. Once they get it to 90% working, they need to wipe the slate and start over. They get things to like 90%, and then it seems like, oh, start over, time to rewrite it.
Yeah, for a fork.
That's what we all need here.
But I don't have to worry about them.
It's a conspiracy, that's what it is.
We have that working for all the graphics now?
Yeah. I think so. I think we got all the graphics working. Yeah, they have the graphics. It just worked. Oh, time to rewrite it. It worked too well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some unique, you know, feature that they want to build into it that sort of breaks everything down the line.
Yeah.
You know, they can't add a simple feature without breaking the old stuff.
Today I was actually reading an interview. There is a Ubuntu, it's not really Ubuntu development side, but it's like Ubuntu open source. And Shuttleworth was on IRC and was asking people who submit questions and he would actually answer the questions. And from the 1 hour of IRC, this is what I got actually. Ubuntu open Shuttleworth has about 200 employees. He wasn't telling that they did that, but he was saying that people are asking what people want the most from Linux, and he was saying people want most from Linux that their iPod would work.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said. Then he said that they hired actually staff or team of the artists. So he was saying that he's not sure if it'll show in next release because they need to actually assemble the team, and he was saying, well, they'll assemble it, they'll start working somewhere in January, February timeframe. But they are working on graphics as far as graphics speed. So the stuff should be more pretty and nicer, you know, in a 1 year time span. Mm-hmm. And one distribution is setting up the trend, another distribution might actually follow, and we see it with the six month cycle, people like it or not. actually very interesting stuff where they are going right now. And there was a question, one person from the kernel community was saying that Ubuntu is not contributing enough. And Shuttleworth was saying, well, that's what a person, his priority went there, but my priority might be somewhere else. And we have a lot of people working for us, and we are working in XYZ projects. And because one project doesn't have enough computers with a canonical.com, it doesn't mean that we're not working somewhere else. So it was interesting interview.
Well, I think Linux just gets a bad rap sometimes. Just saying needs to work straight up. Because I had a couple laptops I needed to install Windows XP to. Well, I couldn't just use the Windows XP standard disk. I had to use a Windows XP disk with Service Pack 2 in it in order for it to actually work. And then you had to have the serial ATA driver for DOS or for when you're loading it to make it work. Then you had to download all the drivers and install it to get it to work. Then you had to download Adobe in Office and put it all on there. So the average user doesn't see that, but someone that has to build it
The other thing that XP doesn't work well with SCSI right off the bat, too.
No.
I mean, literally, you have to download the drivers and put it in during the installation.
Yeah. So not everybody expects Linux to just do that.
We have a HP LaserJet printer, which we own for 80 years right now. It stopped working with the XP. One day, it just stopped working. It cannot work. It just doesn't work.
It works good with Linux.
I had an HP issue where the toner had expired, or the ink had expired. So I couldn't print to it in Windows, but in Linux it worked just fine because Linux didn't tell it what the date was.
Yes.
Also, the Windows is actually doing some check in there too, huh?
Oh, well, yeah. There are drivers
to do that.
The HP drivers will shut your printer down if you're even close to being out of ink.
A lot of people complain about that, and even some other printer manufacturers are going to that, where they're doing smart cartridge interrogation. So if you're getting low, you need a new cartridge. And like, for example, our printer, which is an HP, if my black runs out, I can't print in color. You know, because they just said, I'm not going to print because you're out of one cartridge. And it's got the four colors, so if I run out of magenta, it won't print. Because I have to replace that one cartridge, even if I want to print black and white, it won't print.
But it might be. This went beyond that because I had full cartridges. It was just they were out of date. I would have saw it's out of date.
Yeah.
So it's just because you know that ink, I'm not gonna let you get it.
Because they were thinking that your cartridge is actually dry.
Yeah.
Well, you just need to go buy a new one. What's the cross?
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
They hate the fact that I bought similar cartridges from the Eau Claire auction site. They weren't the exact same ones, but I ripped the bottom off of the ones I got in the auction. Slapped it on the bottom of the new ones and put them in, they worked.
Yeah.
Because the only difference on it was a key on the back of the little cartridge.
I just took a cartridge to be refilled from Lexmark over at the place over by the mall there, by Festival, across the Festival. And the printer says it's empty. And you took it over.
I have my player, which at some point stopped working with my Linux. And so I came that far, drove me nuts that I actually reformatted my player, and right now it works. I want to connect to it. I don't know if there was some file format corrupted, but when I reformatted my player, then it works right now.
Like an MP3 player?
Yes.
Okay. Is that real? Are you going to have a problem with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you have a Rio?
Is an iPod an MP3 player also, or
yeah.
is it? So it's the same thing as
the. It's the same thing. It's just that it reads the Apple proprietary tracks. The music service they have. That's what they're really gearing for, is they got their own hardware, they got their own DRM music library that you can download songs from. It's their own.
But are they are MP3s though?
But they will put MP3s.
Yeah, okay.
Not the ones that you download off of like the Apple
website. Those aren't in.
What are they? Your own
those are M4AC.
Oh, yeah, no, M4A, you're right.
They'll play MP3 files, but that's not
but it's, but it's DR, it's DRM stuff, so if you don't check in either like every 3 months or something like that, that stuff will time out because you aren't fulfilling your subscription and stuff. There's multiple, there's different ways you can do it.
So the Apple is, this iPod thing is marketing because of their glitzy website and the little device itself is kind of...
They have about 70% of the download music market.
Because of what reason? What?
Because they probably got out there first, and the iPod, or the iPods are actually nice MP3 players.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
very well designed,
yeah.
very small and stuff like that, and then they tie it with their music service, they make their money off the music service.
But they don't do anything more than these other MP3 players.
Well, they do. No, they'll do video and yeah. stuff like that, but again, it's all their proprietary codecs.
That's
they
the iMark.
They bookmark. Yeah. They bookmark multiple. Like I have an MP3 player, and I'll bookmark one thing. Well, you have an iPod, you could listen to one podcast and bookmark that one, go to another one.
You don't have to bookmark it, you just stop listening there, you go somewhere else and bookmark one.
Yeah, you could have an audiobook, it'll bookmark there, and you can watch a video and then stop it.
It's oh, it's not true, it doesn't
go to your iPod to your TV and watch video.
They've got a nice software on it, it's really good.
It's like a Mac system in a small thing. I mean, the Mac system is an all-encased, they control everything, so they can make a very well-designed, very well-behaved system. And that's why they have probably 70% market. But again, it's their digital rights that's hooked into it, and that's what's got people worried.
Realistically, there's nothing that they're doing that somebody else could do.
No.
Okay.
Other than try to break into that market.
Nobody else is doing it, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they can't play the M4A formats that Apple puts out. I mean, if you buy stuff off their service, yep. you can't play them on other players.
You could rip it.
You could bring down your PC, rip it out on a CD.
I actually can with Rockbox, which is a replacement for it's a replacement firmware for lots of MP3 players. Actually, I have it on my Sansa.
Okay.
My Sansa MP3 player plays AAC.
I think Ubuntu also has a program that will take the Apple stuff and simulate it, burning it to a CD and bringing it back in as MP3. You just don't have to get to that burning step. Mm-hmm. It's sort
but
of
you are all about quality.
You probably are.
There was an article that is actually in the newsletter that somebody broke Blu-ray.
Yep.
They're saying it'll take 10 years.
Yeah.
We think so. Somebody's working in the basement.
You know, still can't believe they think they can protect something when the protection's in your own house. And, you know, you get the player that's got all the protection stuff and you can't crack
it. Yeah. As long as you can put your hands on the device.
Sure. There's ways of cracking.
Ways
and that's how they did. That's what the article said. That's how they did this one. Is they emulated the hardware, the physical hardware that the Blu-ray player is,
yeah.
and that's how they broke it. So.
Well, so. You're buying it. I mean, it's just
you're buying it anyways.
Ridiculous. It's like
why would you have to buy multiple times?
I read a blog the other day about trying to get something published on a Blu-ray, and it's ridiculous. If any kind of publisher house. that publishes Blu-ray now has to have a copyright office on building or on the site because anything published over Blu-ray with the official Blu-ray logo or whatever, you have to pay for their proprietary anti-copy or their copy protection software. And no matter how many discs you buy, it's a flat rate of like $1,700.
$0.05 for HDD. I hate Sony. I hate Sony.
And there's no way around it. You can't have anything published without paying for it.
But you know what?
Mastered.
You know, the twinkle of the Blu-ray is going down really fast because Blu-ray is not like backup media anymore. I'll buy a hard drive. You can get high definition stuff from somewhere else. So what's the purpose of it?
Yeah, and there are a few people, I think it might have been that article or maybe another that the guy says, you know, if I really compare my Blu-ray with my DVD up converter, I really can't see the difference in most cases.
Yes.
So why would I pay twice as much for a Blu-ray?
He needs a
bigger than a TV.
or sit closer.
You can see a huge difference in high def TV versus a DVD, but I also have an 80-some inch screen.
Wow.
That I sit within, you know, 10 feet of.
Is that why you're glowing?
Yeah. No, it's your projector.
Oh, okay.
If you got a standard 30 inch TV, you don't need that high def.
That'd be interesting. Why you don't? But you know, like, the average consumer isn't really going to want to go high end. I mean, to them, it's still high end.
Even if they did, they would be able to afford to now.
Right. $300 a player has finally gotten down to that.
That's expensive.
And
just to play one
game, like $30 a disc for a movie.
You just buy a PS3.
It's $30.
You could buy a DVD player for $20.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Especially
you know the open source movies. Or you go get some open source movies for free.
There you go. Put them in your popcorn hour. Yeah, open source movies, they rack up.
Everybody's after versatility and, you know, being able to do lots of stuff with their media versus extreme quality.
Right into that and literally you can't replace it without buying a new one.
Half the TV I watch is some crappy encoding on the internet that, you know, if you blew it up to that big, it would really look horrible. But I'd rather multitask and watch it on my computer while I'm doing something else than I would, you know, just sit.
That's
me anyways.
Culture of 128 MP3 versus CDs, you know? Well, right. People don't care that it sounds like crap. It just sounds.
You can't take it.
People can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Well, my son plays YouTube and stuff, music off there on his laptop speakers, and I'm thinking like, that sounds horrible. Yeah. And he's sitting there like, well, what's the big deal? I'm thinking like,
my wife's got
at least pumping like a stereo or something.
64 kilobit encoded music on her phone that she takes to the gym with her. She's perfect. It drives me nuts.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
She's perfectly happy with it just to get a beat and you know, work out.
I've got to have a 160 AUG file. Or a 192
MP3.
256, I can't. 160 is not good enough for you? 160
is not good enough.
You can tell. You know, I do have, actually, I re-encoded, I have classical music.
I bet classical music you would be able to.
Just one classical music. So I had encoded in MP3 128. And on my player, it was always loud and null. Loud and not here. And then I recorded in AUG 226 or whatever it is.
56.
And 50. I can hear low and high. And I don't have to turn up and down.
I ruin it for everyone. Listen to the cymbals. The cymbals are the easiest thing to hear messed up. They'll get like a little, the frequency will kind of waver a little bit if you have lower bit rate because the cymbals don't encode well using it.
So I gotta re-encode all my MP3s now.
Right. Yeah.
No, you need to encode it on the FLAC and then use it.
Oh yeah.
Wave and re-encode.
So what do you do? You get the best sound with a reasonable size.
I go AUG about at a 160.
160. You got 192 or 3. Okay.
I've had like some the newest Nightwish CD. When I put that to AUG, I've got to do it. And I think I had to go over 300 because there's so much stuff going on with like brass instruments and things. Even at 256 on AUG, it just
you miss the
it explodes. No, it just sounds like a big because it can't.
So, but MP3 at the same bit rate doesn't do it either. I mean, just
MP3 probably had
like a 192. Okay.
MP3s are slightly less detailed than AUGs are.
So you just gotta make sure you go up at a higher bit rate with the
MP3s and stuff. And the AUGs will give you a better compression, so 160 AUG is probably equivalent to about 128 MP3.
Okay. So I just give my MP3s to my son every so often. We trade, or you know, my wife will put it on her thing, and they only do MP3s.
Right. Yeah, I got a player that did AUG. I purposely went out looking for one that did AUG. Yeah, it plays AUG. It doesn't read the tags off the AUG models. So I've got this big long list of about 400 songs that I have to scroll through, but
download Rockbox. Rockbox is really sweet. It plays it almost endless.
If it was supported on my player.
What player do you have?
It's an Insignia.
Oh.
Go to the Cohen America.
Cohen's the best. I really like Cohen.
I got that
on my son and
iAudio 7. I'm just happy as a.
It is so because they come out with firmware updates to make sure the thing's always up and it's got a lot of codecs built into it. It's just a well made device, but they don't advertise.
Which
you know
the Cohen's
Cohen C O W A N.
It's just odd flat.
They produce the nice big boxes, you know, the like a 4-inch screen that you can hook up to your TV and do TiVo off of it. And I mean, they're really cool boxes, but and they got the net. Is that one?
This is it's the iAudio, so the 16 gig player. It's
this was. They don't sell them in stores. They don't. Well, I guess they do.
I ordered it last January. I want to say it was. I think like $250 then. So I'm sure they're cheaper.
What's their big competitor? Who's the other competitor out there? There's another guy. Cohen is really good. They got a lot of different codecs.
When I was looking for my player, I wanted an AUG.
Yep.
So I bought AUG, but that thing didn't work on Linux. Okay? There's AUG support, but Windows doesn't have AUG support.
Yeah.
So I, didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense, but I didn't know that, when I bought it.
See, you need a Mac.
And this will plug right into Rhythmbox,
Banshee. Just make it compatible. I mean, they're out there and they're trying to make it as compatible with as many devices as possible, so.
Yeah. I don't know what I was buying, why they looked for. I don't know. Maybe I don't know about it.
Well, it isn't. It's not out there. It's not prevalent in most places. It's
you look at it and you kind of wonder, should I order? Because it's, like you said, you got to go to Amazon to buy it. Or they have their own store, but it's.
Yeah.
Is it real expensive?
It's probably about average to a little bit more.
It could show if it would have a wireless connection, but we don't.
You can look on here.
Look
it won't be as fulfilling. But I'm really happy with the iAudio. I've been thinking of upgrading to the fancier model, giving this one to the wife. So. Christmas is coming
to upgrade. Oh, that gets me an idea.
What's up with the newsletter, though?
Well, there's a newsletter. Should we go on the newsletter? Did somebody read newsletter?
Yeah,
we're ready.
I think there's some.
Wow, people read newsletter. Wow.
So you don't need the internet if we all do our homework.
Yes, that's what it is. I guess the first article was about Ubuntu Intrepid. I install it. I like it. There are a few more articles. How it was released and what are the features and. stuff like that. So, did somebody read it?
Yeah, they were the five best features. They're just kind of like under features.
What is your best feature?
I like it. It works.
Actually,
there aren't any new features.
It smells good.
ZSNES simulator.
The background's a little bit nicer. Like the background's a little bit different.
Where's the ROMs for that?
No, from the
open source ROMs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, open source.
I
have the TV has
17 ROMs.
I can't find any ROMs, but at one point in time, you go online and there was a group of people out there who had seven DVDs filled with them. And you'd send off your senior DVDs to them and they'd mail them back, you just filled with them. So I did that, and yeah, I got back probably 2,500 ROMs. Just everything, the arcade ROMs,
pretty much any games that you could think of, any arcade game ever.
I don't know where it went.
You don't find
that. I would say that one.
Somebody took the ROMs out of the
yeah,
to CD.
Yep. And then you plug those in and you run them on your computer and it makes it look just like the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. I would say that one feature what I like is this new applet here that you click.
Oh yeah, it doesn't bring up the
yes
the Neuer box.
Yes.
Does Hyperdeck actually work?
I never tried it. Okay.
I don't hibernate. I'm not a spare.
My suspend works on here pretty good.
Oh, it does. Okay.
I don't have enough of a battery to make it worthwhile to do this.
It works. It's had to suspend for quite a while, at least a day or more.
My battery's like your other machine.
They do have a different panel applet for what they had before, was the power off, shut down. They do have a different.
They have another battery option.
When you go here.
I need to get a new one.
And do the shutdown.
Right, that one that I put on your patch.
3 years old already.
There was another article, if somebody read about the core.
Yeah, I like that article. Yeah, that was really interesting. Basically, they came up with a court decision that said, you know what, these software patents, most of them, and these business process patents are pretty much all bogus. Yeah. You know, so you're going to see.
If it's not tied to a machine, or if it doesn't move from place A to place B.
For a specific technology, we're not going to do patents on. They left the door open for some, but he gave two examples in there of a patent of a method of training janitors to vacuum and dust using video. That was a patent. Someone tried patenting that. And, you know, so they said there's a lot of bogus patents and stuff. You know, things like the Amazon One Click and some of these other things, those aren't going to be patentable anymore. I mean, they're going to throw out a lot of these patents because they just don't hold up in court. So that'll be a good thing. You won't get all these patent companies that buy up all this stuff and then they just go out and sue, you know, everybody and stuff. And
which is interesting. This is very interesting development because actually in Britain, they had no patents. And recently there was some court case and it turns that right now they can start doing patents on software. So
that's interesting. It was interesting that Red Hat is a big proponent of getting rid of the patents. In fact, they wrote some papers to help this decision along and stuff. So,
well, it really hurts them because they have, you know, they want everything to be, or they won't include software unless it truly is open source in any of their stuff.
Not that
the patents are really hurting them,
yes,
as far as that goes.
Yep.
So there are two articles about that. Theora 1.0 release.
Yes, I did. I read a little bit about that. It looks like some of the new.
This is a video codec.
Yes, this is a video codec. Actually, they say that probably once the encoders get up to a certain point, they'll be comparable with the next bit that is there. But it'll be completely open.
Because as of right now, the Fiora is not.
How did you change the color of the tabs?
That has to do with your.
I'm going to say no on that.
Really?
Yeah. If you go by what they directly have released, no, it's not on car. But it's not that the codec itself is the issue, it's the. That particular codec, I guess you could say. Format is good. Format has the ability to be better than MPEG, but it all depends on the encoder. It's just like we were talking. I did go back and look at the encoder stuff as far as.
Yeah, buttons actually the system. I take it back.
XBID is MPEG 4.
Usually it's the
same. Is MPEG 4. Pretty much everything is MPEG 4. That's it. So if your player plays MPEG 4, it plays all of
them. If you theme, if you customize the color,
just different.
How did you get it to
see the whole encoder? So this codec will encode
expansion
method, but come up with an MPEG 4 file. This encoder or codec will encode it in a different method, come up with a different MPEG 4 file. But they're all MPEG 4.
If you want to be short, you have to get some arrows in it.
So basically, you could still use this and create your MPEG-4s that other systems will use.
This is actually creating a different format than MPEG-4. And that's the thing, MPEG-4 is actually has cache issues with it.
Oh, okay.
So it's not open.
Not totally open.
Right. And there are two encoders for Fiora right now. There's their encoder, there's a unstable one that some people are working on that hasn't been merged into the mainline branch, and it is significantly better than theirs, like factor of 5 for quality.
How does this H.264 fit in all this stuff? I mean, is that the competitor of this thing?
It's another type of encoder for MPEG-4.
Oh,
added features. Like MPEG-4 is actually got, I think, like 20 or 30 different modes that it can have, and the players don't necessarily support all of the modes, which can be the issue. So the H.264 has support for higher resolution videos.
It just seems to be a much better compression. Anything in 264 just seems to look better.
They're
smaller.
It's the encoder that's doing that. It's still an MPEG-4 file.
And I heard that the H.264 with, as you start out with, or video conferencing systems with a lower resolution, so they're good at a smaller resolution. They're just trying to scale it up now to full HD.
I like this.
Make sure it looks the same, right? It looks as good. Yeah.
Because the flash supports.
I'm not crazy about orange, so I changed
264.
Oh, the bar on the top. It's the blue.
And I think that's what YouTube uses, doesn't
it? It's,
there was an article about time call. You would ask me about that. What is
this right here? Apple. So I changed this to.
That's where it is.
This is pretty, there are a couple programs that you can see.
It's RSync.
I had played around with it. It's not worked pretty well.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's RSync at the end, and this is just a nice lift on it.
But I mean, it keeps snapshots of stuff around too, so you can roll back certain files if you want.
Yes. There was an article about OpenOffice now in browser with the Utio. I think that you were talking about the Utio. Did you read that article?
They updated the Office
84
they have on it, but I found it to be very intuitive. I think it was very slow.
Very slow. I think that they are talking that you download like a plugin.
Yeah,
there's
a plugin you have to use the browser.
Yes, then you can write the text.
So you do an open office in a browser.
Yes.
Actually, your whole desktop is basically on their machine.
Okay.
And then you also have a thing that you can have your desktop on your laptop, and then wherever you take it, you can sync it to. So
when we talk about open office, I actually have OpenOffice 3.
This text is
what I've done because with
Utility, I changed it to 4.
So I uninstalled my OpenOffice 2.4 and I went to a Sun site. I downloaded the dev file and then I installed that file as well as the
installed okay or
anything? It installed no problem.
Okay.
As well as the installation, integrated desktop integration. And the desktop integration gave me. It's these directories, so that's pretty much what it is.
Any big changes?
Three. I can do PDF.
That was one thing that I wanted to use, why you didn't put fields.
Okay.
When you have a dark
map. But other than that, if you don't need that
too
feature,
high of contrast,
then whatever. 2.4 is just fine.
Okay.
There's a set of icons if you go to GNOME.
When they do standard install for Office, they don't put all of the and different programs that you can actually run.
Yes.
I can't remember what this said.
That's the way they should do it.
In package manager, you could go and you could say, I want to have XYZ, and we probably would find it there. You could install it.
Look, that's what Microsoft Office does, and so that's how OpenOffice needs to do it if they want to be competitive.
Very good.
Seriously, though. If they want to be competitive, somebody's going to look at it and go, well, this doesn't do half the stuff Office does. Forget this.
Because they get to say, oh, here's my Office suite. And when it is spread out, that you cannot say this is my Office suite because, well, you have Office suite, but it is by the area where you are working in. What else do we have there? We have Hyperware Server 2 shows some improvements. Did somebody read about it?
I read a little bit of it, and it does, but I don't remember a whole lot about it. We run the version 1 something at work, and we're now switching to the ESX. We're testing out the ESX, which I really like. I don't know. Anybody run HP servers?
Well,
we're going to be setting up some ESX virtualization.
It took 5 minutes to open up a HP box and put the ESX server on and get it running.
You 5 minutes?
5 minutes. You take the CD, you put in, you do it, let it do its install, you give it one fixed IP address, and you're done. You don't have to do anything else. And so then you just, from that point on, you just open up a browser, go to that IP address, and there's all your setup for VMs and stuff where you can send things in and out. You don't have to install any patches. You don't have to. It even has the HP Insight Manager settings. So when you open up the ESX VM, it'll tell you your fan speeds, your temperatures, your CPU, your power supply redundancy. It does.
Actually, this works very similar. And I think it's on base. They had bare bone like ESX version. So they actually use this for VMware too. So you actually don't have a console anymore. You actually have to
go to the GUI.
Server 2, yeah.
Server 2 just goes to the web-based thing.
I've got it installed at home on my desktop machine.
So yep.
It's not installed onto Linux, but it runs 3 Linux VMs right now. And I can still play Fallout 3 at the same
time. Actually, I will try to rebuild the lab website. As I could actually free up the newer hardware, because I need to unplug the fan because it's too loud. That $200 Walmart computer, it doesn't have a fan on a processor, but it has a fan on power supply. And power supply, there's a cheap fan, and it's starting to whine. So I want to unplug it.
Does it at least have a spot, like a big spot for a fan that you can stick in the case or something?
It does have a huge holes in the whole case. So the case doesn't need to have a fan. You know,
you just got to get it away from the processor. So get some kind of flow.
I don't think that you even need
to. I think it's going to fly on the ground.
The processor's going to get hot.
If it's blowing on the power supply, I would not unplug that. That would not be a good idea.
That would not be.
It's pulling only 40 watts.
Lunch time is going to go down in a couple of days.
Yeah. If
he
sees up to all, we'll just know why.
I wouldn't do that.
We can all get ready with our told you so
speeches. But just have another power supply handy.
No,
seriously, that power supply won't last long without a fan.
Yes, okay. Well,
it's not going to last long at all.
Most fans that have a power supply are integrated right in on the
monitor. Yeah.
You have a.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that will do it.
Yeah.
One way or another, that will do it.
You
won't get a bum out of that computer, bro.
It'll be quiet.
As long as it's on fire, it doesn't actually go.
But it is only 40 watts. You know, so
it keeps saying that though, but there's 120 volts going in there.
So, believe me, the engineer put a fan there for a reason.
Well, 30 amps.
There's no 30 amps.
There could be 30 amps going in there.
Does somebody go?
Yeah, that depends. People generally don't have higher than 20 watt circuits in their house a lot of times.
5 volts?
20
watts.
Or
28.
It's
a 20
watt.
It's
going to
smell it.
No, it's 2,000 watts that could possibly be feeding into there if something happened to go wrong.
Well, a lot of those compact units, they build fan with power supply to blow on the processor, too. That's why the processor doesn't have a fan.
They got some kind of ducting there.
You unplug that. Not only is your processor, your power supply going to get hot.
It's who quits first.
That's not fair.
I wonder if you could take one of those little tiny fans like I have on these video cards. They're only this big and they're really quiet.
The little ones are quiet? Usually the bigger ones are quiet.
They spin slower, don't they?
Yeah, they spin slower.
That's the bottom line.
Look at the high
lights. I don't think that it should burn because it's doing only 40 watts.
Yeah, but that'd be like a
40 watt
light bulb.
Yeah, 40 watt. You drop it down to 4 volts or 3 volts.
Yeah. You know what? That 11 watt light bulb I have, I still won't touch it with my bare hand. Yeah. I'll tell you that much.
You guys.
Isn't that okay? Okay. I think you should try it.
Hey, Losh, you gotta do it, but you gotta bring it here when you do it.
Does your TV Does your TV have a fan?
No, but they designed it.
Power supply.
It dispenses the heat.
It's not changing electricity, though.
It does.
But also your TV ramps the voltage up rather than putting it down. So you already have those
lower. Switching power supply in it.
Yeah, it does. That's exactly the horizontal whole section is a switching power supply.
But it's got a lot of surface area to disperse the
heat. They put bigger components in there, and they put a higher tolerance.
It's higher voltage, the lower amperage.
I think we should just do it.
I think we should start taking bets here. Is
that cool?
In my experience, cheap power supplies go out enough on their own and not help. So, yeah.
The only heat
going out
in the yard, plugging in, is that power supply. This is going to burn your house down. Put it in the fridge. Not let it out. Let it burn the house down. You actually feel really hot.
And you can overclock it.
You stick it outside, it's winter time.
It's like only on the power supply.
Why don't you just wrap it up in cellophane and put some insulation around and take the noise down?
You got this mother bus. Let's keep on moving.
Okay.
Actually, there was another.
Yeah, but if you look at
this,
thing is less than 50% efficient.
All right. There was another article about something out of control, VirtualBox from a command line.
Don't want to do it.
Not worth it.
Just go get VMware.
VirtualBox would be nice if they had good networking. But it's impossible to bridge a connection.
Yes.
You got to go through 25 steps.
I have bridged connections in OS X with like one click. It was like set bridged connection.
Once you just got the new one, it's not that easy.
Yeah, and three.
You needed a hardware or the OS bridge connection. So it was like VMware will set up for you.
They built it to work fine on something like Windows XP, where you can right-click create connection, and nobody's done the right-click create connection in Ubuntu or in any Linux distribution for that matter yet. So.
I did bridge connection in Ubuntu with VMs.
Not with a right-click, though.
No. It was, I had to download a special something. And install it and then redo the setup.
You know, it might not be that hard, but you know what? With the same amount of effort, I can install VMware and get that functionality and then a lot more functionality and waste a gigabyte in disk space. So.
Hard drive is cheap.
That's right.
Yeah.
With applications, we have here Dense Guardian. Dense Guardian is actually.
It's supposed to be pretty good, actually.
It's a filtering tool. There used to be Christian Ubuntu, they're using the Dense Guardian. The IT license, it's a little shaky. It's a GPL, it's something different. So there's a dispute if it's open source or not. But, Mondo is, I think it's a rescue, it's the backup that rescue. Secret. Mario Chronicles, whatever it's a game.
Mario.
With a Y.
And
for copyright purposes.
And Nautilus Sound Converter. I think that actually this is very similar, like when you're in Nautilus and you right click, you can actually have different plugins. So this is actually the same thing. If you install it, then if you right click on it, then you are going to have option what you want to transport it to. We were talking about PBFTK,
So they're talking about instance will be a toolkit. There was something about ALSA 1.0.18 was finally available in ways, whatever that means for us. 15 secrets. Now that was about Halloween. Now scariest.
Yes.
It was about Halloween and the scary text.
Favorite
kid.
Cute does not equate to scary.
Well, when I see a tux that's dressed up like the alien from the alien movies, I think it's cute. Here.
Yeah. If you want scary, there's a Broadway show called Blast. Read the reviews for Blast. It'll blow your mind.
All right.
They have, it's like 90 minutes, no intermission, people being tortured. There's actually a scene where somebody sucks somebody's eyes out and eats them for real.
They actually
have to have the actors, had to have, like, you know, psychological consultants to come in, and they've canceled matinees because none of the people can stand to do the show twice in a day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's really something. Yeah, I wrote a lot of
there. I don't know.
Yeah.
You'll see the
Missy Wicket. We're talking about Libby's Computer and Media Center. So there was a part one, so I guess there's a part two.
I thought it was pretty cool because there was a lot of money go off. Four of the five, I don't even heard.
Yeah.
You had the TV there, but I mean, the first one, the X something, I mean, was those were a Windows, Xbox, OS X, and Linux.
That was the article about Blu-ray. That's one I really wrote. Using FSLint, article about that.
I didn't read it, but I should.
Well, you're using it.
I was using it.
Happy people and Linux.
Too busy with them all.
You were talking about that. Happy people.
Yep.
Intrepid update FAQ. That was a woman with the name somebody. Mackenzie somebody. And she was actually in Ohio. She had a dog there. So it was kind of interesting inside the talk. Photoshop Express is a browser-based application. Dream Linux, because you were trying Dream Linux, there's your review of Dream Linux.
I think I read that and I don't know. It was a decent review. I think it was fairly accurate, but yeah. I didn't agree with they said once they had it installed, it worked great. I wasn't impressed.
No. As far as me, I know just that install, so it did work right.
See, really, a distro has to really do some really cool stuff to move you away from Ubuntu. I mean, just because you want to go mainstream if you can. You know, you hate to go into something like that and they're behind versions because they don't update it very well.
It'd
have to be some, unless they're trying to do a Mac-like type thing where they try to control the whole thing.
And the NSA is watching because you're downloading stuff from Brazil all the time.
Everything comes from Brazil.
You have to go into Iraq and Iran. If somebody is mad about comics, there is a user-friendly comics book and general image viewer. And it's named Comics. And highly panoramic photo editor. There was an article. Did we have Agent 4 already?
Yeah,
we talked about it, but.
Does that put panoramic pictures together?
Yeah, you have pictures and
I don't remember if you remember, I was like, after I got back from Colorado, I stitched a couple together with Huggins, and it was very good.
Okay, yeah, I use it to do some sort of.
Well, I've done a few pictures of vacation doing this.
I've still got them on here if you want to see them, I think, so if you're interested.
Oh, but when I was talking about Shuttleworth, actually, he was saying that. Somebody was asking about video editor, and he was saying that somebody is working as a paid full-time employee on PPTV, or whatever that program is.
Yeah. Okay.
So that somebody is actually working on the project as a paid person full-time.
Wow.
That would be interesting.
Well, it's not
that would probably be the one that takes over the time.
It's not just Ubuntu. It's
It's I think it's an old project.
So they're paid to work on it upstream, basically. So
the
first, so everyone will get the benefit.
Yes,
what it's
yes. And I don't think that it's actually Canonical who is paying that person. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else who is paying that person. It's just that there's a
that could be the killer app to put Linux in the mainstream, yeah, to help people their stuff.
That's the area where
the real big houses all use Linux, because they can't be tied down to Windows. They can't, you know, wait for Microsoft to come up with a patch to fix their stuff. You know, they've got, you know, 5,000 PCs rendering this.
If they run it one bug, they gotta fix it.
They have to have it fixed, and they have to have it fixed now. So they're all running Linux.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, anybody who thinks Linux isn't mainstream for graphics folks, yeah, go to SIGGRAPH. You know, lots of folks are doing really big projects on Linux stuff.
We were watching that PBS show with the Fractal. They had a guy from ILM, the Lucas thing. They had a clip from Star Wars 3. But you could see he was using Linux.
Yeah.
And all the
Linux. Yeah, if you look close, you saw the top bar of his desktop.
Yeah, you can see the icon of the GIMP there, and then they had their like six programs where had their custom icons were just colored squares.
I think you could see that in Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings too.
But the thing is you gotta produce this program down to the consumer house level.
Right.
You know, some of those programs can get so complicated that people won't touch it.
All their programs are all custom.
Oh, yeah. They're all custom, yeah, all custom routines, yeah, for the
rendering.
I mean,
they see it
like
as
that.
Two different sides. There's like there's the production side, and then there's the consumer side.
Right. And you need the consumer
side.
That's what I think is missing in the Linux, is a nice, easy consumer side. I want to get my video camera editing in there just to.
As you are talking about entry level, well, somebody will say the key is entry level, but it is really, well, it is entry level, but you need to have digital video, otherwise you can forget about it. And then there's a little bit higher consumer.
I hear a lot of people, you know, use the Windows Movie Maker just because it comes with Windows. And it's simple. They can add sound, they can add a few transitions, they can cut and paste their video, and they're done, you know, and stuff. But there's really something not that easy or works reliably. There's stuff that easy in Linux, but it just doesn't work.
You know, here's something interesting. Go to NFL.com, and you can actually, like, cut together your own, like, clips right in the Flash applet right online. And it's using, I think, Adobe.
So you upload your clips to it and stuff?
They've got all the clips from all the different football games and such, and you just edit it. You can add like background music, do all your transitions there.
So can you author in like a Myth TV, a lot of those you can to some degree?
To some extent, stuff. Yes.
I mean, it's not a real
Myth TV, you can edit out different parts of your video and such. I think you can then put it together on a DVD as well. And it Mint TV actually does like a full menu system and everything for you. And kind of going back, I was looking around, and VirtualBox is not that hard to set up a bridge network connection. They actually provide a command line utility that sets it all up. You just type it in, and there you go. There's your
just way easier.
Yeah, you're just like, you can't spend 2 minutes
already.
You
know, last time I did it, it was not.
I was able to do it just now.
Maybe when I was out there.
So
you were able to find your way out, Jimmy?
What?
Will we find your way out?
I think I can.
Go this way, and then you get there.
Okay. Shall we go on? There are a few more how-tos. And there was a tutorial for a Blender. It was something about mining.
Boning. Putting bones in your model so that you can
boning.
Really what you do is you take your model and then you put bones inside, and then instead of moving the entire model, you move the bone, and then the model moves along with it. It was way beyond me, but I know that you sort of it's actually fairly simple. I've set up a full model of bones before. And it just, you know, like the different vertices of your model just kind of snap to the closest bone, and then you get half of the two bones, then 50% go to this bone, 50% go to this bone. And it's kind of the same situation with like motion capture. You do motion capture, it gets those points, and those points can actually remove the bones, and then the bones are moving off.
Then we had installing WiiWare Server 2 on Fedora, which can be also a different operating system. Print, read, ripped it to PDF on Ubuntu. When I was actually installing the 8.10, there was not installed CAPS PDF, so that's about installing CAPS PDF, and then it works. Upgrade Ubuntu, desktop and server, create minimal and beautiful desktop with a copy, did that, and a couple of custom, compile some of the employees bored and wants to look at GCC screensaver for some time.
What is a GCC
screensaver? Profile custom kernel.
Hey, clip that fan. Do that.
It's a custom. It's a custom kernel.
We gotta throw in like burners and guess the time on it or something here.
Wait, power supply. So where does the power supply air go after it goes through the? Okay, so it's sucking through. So where does it suck the air in from?
It has lots of holes.
Your airflow is going to stop. Yes. The entire machine.
Because convection doesn't work.
That's okay.
See, it's like intelligent design. He believes in intelligent convection.
That's right. You took the copper off, and then it's going to be okay.
Look, this isn't like this Pentium 120 It took 1 minute to die. Because the power supply fan was pulling just enough air through to keep the processor under, you know, the overheat temperature. I took the case off, instantly overheat. If I turned it on and stop, or you know, it's like standing up, and if I set it down, instantly overheat because it messed up all the airflow. And that still had a fan.
The fan on the power supply wasn't running. The power supply still was running. It's just really hot. I don't know when it would die or order.
But
the
CPU still
had
a fan on, right?
Well, usually
CPU still had a fan.
Right. This one is all in one.
Usually the power supply, what a power supply is that you don't actually coil on one side.
That's old. Switching power supply.
It's all electronics.
What stories about old world? Mimi can tell you. She was scanning for when they were at the CMU particle physics lab, and they were discovering the boson or whatever it was.
Boson particle?
Yeah, and they have PDP 11. And if too many people came in the room, the system
would
have
been. I will, but it's plugged in and it doesn't do anything. It's still dry.
I will put $1,000 on it that that is a switching power supply.
I was not playing my future.
It is a switching power supply. I'll guarantee it.
I'll get a digital power supply and I'll get $1,000. If I have access to a hardware, I'll do it.
It's a switching power supply. I'll guarantee you it is a switching power supply.
Either way, just try it. We'll find out.
This distilled can submerge it.
Yeah, you can.
Really?
In fact, that's how you get. That's how you make everything cooler. You submerge it in oil.
The fan's replaceable.
That's how you what?
Submerge it in oil.
Fans are always.
You literally can take all your fans off, take everything, and just push it right down in oil, and it'll be totally silent and totally.
They're actually starting to sell machines now that are in oil.
Yeah. I've heard of that one liquid that's like the.
That's not the non-water.
Yeah, the oxygen-rich, non-conductive liquid that's the same stuff that you're supposedly be able to, you can breathe.
Okay.
I was listening to a talk from somebody who used to work at Silicon Graph, no, not SGI, Crazy Supercomputer. And one of their computers actually had a cooling system. It was like a spray-on coolant, and it would spray just the right amount of the coolant on so that it would evaporate immediately. So it would just, yeah, evaporate the liquid as it hit, and it would keep it just cool enough to run. If you spray too much on, then it would bubble and create an insulating layer. If you didn't spray enough on, it would overheat. So
you can go out on the internet and look for it. They'll show you people who've done it. They'll show you a fish tank, and they'll show you all their components and parts are inside that tank. Totally signed. They just run the USB cables out.
You gotta put your CD-ROM on it.
Yeah, don't put your CD-ROM on it.
I wouldn't put your hard drive in there either.
Yeah, your hard drive is probably questionable, but yeah, you can.
Supposedly it's hermetically sealed. Well, your
hard drive should be able to be hermetically
sealed.
It should be airtight.
It's airtight as long as
the liquid's in there.
Right. And that's why they say, like, your mineral oils and stuff like that, if you get the right kind of oil, which is off the shelf, Walmart, your stuff, you can do it.
No problem. Some hard drives actually have filters in them. They're not actually airtight.
Yeah, I think they're mostly airtight.
I know there's a seal around there, and you don't know what's going on with that seal.
Some actually have a hole
that
has like a little filter on it, and depending on the oil, it might not be stopped by that filter.
Take over it.
Forget whatever that hole was there for.
So like a little glue or something.
So what I'm going to do about the internet.
I was going to say we should talk to them tonight about if it would be possible to run a...
If they could just run a wire to the ceiling would be enough for us, I think. I think we've got enough now. We're putting it among ourselves that we can do what we want to do.
We should get the word tonight, because if we can, I'll bring my Switch next time. We'd have plenty. Just
that's
everybody would...
Wired in. We got to do wireless. I don't have to do hardware.
Why?
Yeah, I don't have to drive it.
Okay, just set up an ad-hoc
But the hardwired card was for 704. I don't have to drive it.
That's what you're running? Is it Bluetooth 704?
Yeah. Or is it 704, 710? 710. Yeah. Ducks are given.
Why don't you upgrade to Epic?
Never upgrade.
I think you need to at least go to the 8.4 because it's the long term one.
I went to
7.4 8.10. Loss of support. It's not supported 7.4.
I don't have any questions.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh man, you better go to Microsoft getting his support.
I've never heard of anyone getting a virus and stuff, patching holes and stuff like that on the older version, so.
The third time because of the virus.
Alright.
You good?
Packing up?
Yeah, well, what are we talking about Microsoft? My old boss, I was pestering her about Linux, and one day, remember a long time before she started pursuing different interests, she came to me and she was saying, do you have that Ubuntu CD with you? And I said, yeah. And why? And she said, well, I needed to have a support from Microsoft, and I spent like 45 minutes on the telephone to get me to get me restore CDs, and they told me I need to pay now $45. And so I gave her CD, and she plugged it in, and everything works, and she was happy handled it. That pursued my interest, and she started to pursue her interest.
mean, like,
yes,
you know, working there.
Voluntarily.
Yes.
Voluntarily.
Would anybody have the
gray one?
Yeah,
the gray one.
Yeah.
I like that one better than the foam one.
What did you say?
Is anyone by chance headed downtown?
I like this.
I'll drive it.
That would be awesome.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.